Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics like
Nessa and Fiona on Shameless. These should have been, like, I don't know why they're not. You just saw them, right?
They're beautiful. Nessa's gorgeous.
They so belong together. So much chemistry. Like, throwback Thursday, Gossip Girl.
Oh, when she made out with Hilary Duff.
Oh, God.
Like, I died.
But I think they pretty much confirmed that Nessa and Fiona aren't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they had to
give queer bait.
Yeah.
You mean queer bait.
They really did, because all those scenes that they had towards the beginning did mm-hmm. not have to happen. The whole, I'm a lesbian. Okay, well then why are you looking at me like that? Like,
yeah, they didn't have to go into that conversation at all. Straight people.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', chingona?
Demi's Lovato's boobs.
Oh, my God. Right?
Like, in this picture you just showed me, they're literally, like, popping out of her shirt.
You know, I'm not ashamed to say that in that, like, Instagram tab where you can, like, your archive, my archive is just pictures of Demi Lovato, SZA, and Alina Bras.
Jesus Christ.
Look, it's just them. Like, there's no one else saved. They're in my archive forever. So I feel no shame. Like, if someone went in there and saw nothing but pictures of Demi Lovato, I would be okay with that.
I was into Demi Lovato, like, through that whole phase where everybody hated her.
Oh, you mean, like, before Cool for the Summer?
Yeah, or even during that, or just, like, basically in general, like, all this time. Like, everybody's always been, like, a Selena Gomez stan or a Miley Cyrus stan way back in the day.
That's a thing?
Yeah, people were, like, not Demi people. And I'm just, like, I'm a Demi girl, like...
I've liked her since she started eating.
Oh, that's me.
No, it's not. It's I mean, she got over her eating disorder. You know how important that is? Like,
yeah.
I'm so happy that
but
she...
But I liked her even before that. I was just like...
Oh, you're... Sunny with a Chance was one of my favorite shows.
I wouldn't go that far, but I liked it.
I watched it for her, honestly. Sunny with a Chance was, like, underrated.
It was underrated.
It was so
for
cute.
A Disney show.
For a Disney show. And then, you know, Demi Lovato's...
Babe.
All of the snacks. She's a full course meal. She's like a 5-course meal. Like, you would, like, have to pace yourself, you know? Like,
it's like KFC, watch out.
Watch out.
Man, so we haven't seen each other in a month.
I know, we're recording and you're in my presence. You're in my room.
I'm like 5 feet away from you.
Yeah, I lit a candle and everything. So
oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. Okay. She made a face like, what? Like, no, that's like, that smell.
I was like, how did I not notice a candle? I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, right? Come on. Damn. Get it together.
I'm losing it.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, so how are you liking Dallas? How is it? How am I back?
It hasn't been that long. But
it feels like forever.
Yeah. I mean, I like the rain. I hadn't seen rain in so long. I hadn't seen clouds in so long. It's
oh,
so
yeah.
Sunny and perfect all the time in California.
Kind of annoying, right? I like seasons. I like rain. I like clouds. Like.
Yeah, I love the rain. So I did miss it. Won't lie. Mm.
Look at us having small talk about the weather like adults.
You know, weather has like become like really rapidly in my 25th year of life has become one of my favorite topics. I'm just like, clouds, right?
Rain, right?
Fucking traffic. God. Like, it's all I talk about.
Bills and taxes. Ugh.
Gosh darn. No, yeah, it's becoming a problem, this whole adulthood thing.
It is. It's okay. Embrace it. It's just the way it be. But what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about mi familia and my American family and what has come after that, which was pretty much Cristela.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of it that way. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear your take. And, sure. I don't know. Like, I like these stories. I like the movie and obviously the show a lot because they talk about... They very briefly touch on immigration. And I just feel like a real kinship to that, like, to immigration. I mean, duh, right? Like,
it's a little bit of a bummer that it doesn't go more into immigration, like, right, like, in, because the way it was described to me, it made me think that they really went through the whole process. Like, their parents were in like young and in Mexico and they travel through, you know, I thought it was my parents' story, but it's not. It's a little more, it's really an American family story.
And they did that on purpose, though. The director, Gregory Nava, said that he wanted to make a story for everyone. Plus, it was like in the 90s when they weren't really making movies.
Well, the TV show was in 2002. But yeah, the movie was, what, 96?
Yeah. I think 95, actually.
I haven't seen the movie.
So you haven't seen the movie?
I'm actually going to be interested in, you know, your whole summary of it. I'm just like, I have no idea what it's about.
It's not very far off, and I honestly wish it had been more detailed, and there was a lot of missed opportunities in the movie, which I feel like in the show as well, in the series, that they could have gone in deeper, because I feel like there's so many stories within the movie about immigration, about the mom, about the sisters. Like, the movie tends to center around the men and, you know, trauma caused by violence. Yeah, that men, right?
So much.
Gross.
It's like, okay, the dad, this, the dad, that. Like,
do you talk about your dad that much in the family? I mean, in mine, we don't.
Currently, but that's a whole different
that's
story.
That's different. But, like, if that wasn't the circumstance, like, before.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's all about the mass struggle.
Yeah, usually.
I mean, I guess we can briefly, before we get started, like, talk about, you know, what do we know about our families and their kind of immigration story?
Yeah, so my mom came over in the 70s, like the mid-70s. She was going to be a nanny in the Valley. And she just said that she just let her passport expire. She walked across the border. They were like, oh, are you here to shop? She's like, yeah, I'm just here to shop. And then she just, like, never went back, you know?
Yeah.
And
people would be surprised that how, like, common that is. People come here, let their visas expire, just don't leave. And it's not just Mexicans, it's plenty of Europeans, Canadians,
everybody does it, so it's not like unusual.
It's
but
not just us.
But I mean, for her, it was more like in the 70s there wasn't like this whole structure. There wasn't this, like, you're gonna get arrested and go to prison type deal if you're illegally crossing the border, you know?
Yeah, back then it was really, even before the 90s, it was chill.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, institutionalized. It wasn't, they weren't trying to imprison people. Now, the private prison industry, like, it's a lot more dangerous and scary now. So, and my dad, like, he said that he got picked up by Border Patrol so many times he lost count. And he said that every time we just gave them a different name. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm Jose, I'm Juan, I'm Carlos. Like, he just gave a different name. He said he lost count of how many times he had to swim across. And, all I know is that he doesn't really like to talk about coming over to this side a lot, because, you know, he just says his things that I'm guessing it's drama. Like, there's a lot of things that he doesn't talk about, and that's one of those topics it's not on the table for discussion, you know? And there's a lot of people dealing with that trauma of crossing, that there's things that they don't want to relive or talk about, and that's kind of where my dad is. Like, he doesn't share that part of his life. I wish he did, but he definitely tells me that he almost died so many times, like, crossing it. He said that he almost died as many times as he crossed. He's come on, I think the details that I do know is that he has come on the back of a trailer with a bunch of other people stuffed in the back in the heat. He's definitely done that. He's definitely swam and almost drowned. And I think he got stuck in a hole one time. I'm not sure about that one, but I know he did survive being stuck in a hole at some point in his life, but he doesn't share which one.
Yeah.
So what about yours?
My parents, well, my dad has never talked to me about it ever, but my mom, you know, like, the stories that I've, most of the time it's me overhearing these stories, but my mom, when she talks about stuff like this, you know, she keeps it light. So from the stories that I've gathered, she also used to go back and forth, like you're saying, it used to be a lot different, you know what I mean? It wasn't as big of an ordeal. You would cross, like, go and come back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, going to Mexico was the easy part. You just crossed, and nobody gave a damn. But what I most recently learned was that, like, one time she literally just came in by hiding in, like, one of those big ass tractor tires.
Oh, whoa.
Like, she was just in it chilling, and what she crossed,
like, so they had, like, a tractor, like, tire, they were, on the back of
like they were transporting that truck or whatever, and she's just like, yeah, we just hid in there. She said it pretty casually.
Isn't that, like, they just talk about it, yeah, like it's like Tuesday, like, oh yeah, when I crossed it one time,
right? And another time, my mom told me that, like, I guess, like, when her and my dad were just dating at the time, but they crossed together once, And he like carried her on her shoulders across the river.
Oh wow.
I was like, okay, my dad used to be a really good guy.
That's really admirable.
I know. I was like, can I write about this? And like, it's kind of in my plans. I'm like, one day I'm gonna write about them and their crazy ass stories when they used to get along. Because I mean, they have some interesting ones. Because they were kind of from similar areas in Mexico. So yeah, those are the two main ones that she's told me. But yeah, she used to cross back and forth, and it wasn't a big deal. I mean, of course, it wasn't easy. She does have some. Like you said, they don't go into detail, but she has told me, like, one where it was pretty bad, like, you know, empty sewer pipes and shit like that. Like,
whoa.
Bad shit. And she has scars, you know, a couple of them here and there. But, yeah, they don't talk about it, like you say. So, I mean,
mom's it's a lot of trauma there.
Yeah, my mom's a legal citizen now. My dad's a resident. I mean, it's in their past, and I guess they want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's good and bad. Like I want them to share their stories, because I feel like sharing stories is the only way that you can kind of humanize your situation so other people can not feel so alone, like, because everyone's kind of going through the same thing anyways, and sharing your traumatic experience is probably going to help someone else in theirs, you know. Not saying that they have to, it's definitely consent all the way. Whoever wants right. to share gets to share, and if you don't, you're not ready, it's okay.
But yeah, they're very much the stoic type.
Same. I think that, does that come with, like, being a Mexican parent? You don't talk about how you got over here? Like, that's the dangerous part?
I don't know, maybe.
Expressing feelings is just not a thing.
I think it's just, I don't know. I know my mom personally was never planned on living in the U.S. She planned on coming or working and going home to what was home for her. So I think she also had that bitterness in her for a long time, where she was just like, I wasn't supposed to stay here.
Oh, so she still has this kind of like, oh, this isn't my country?
Or I think she thinks she was just bitter that she couldn't have gone through with her plans. She was a lot like me when I was, you know, when she was younger, where it was career like first. No, she was like me, because she's no longer like that. So, you know, but yeah, it was all about, she moved away, you know what I mean? Like, I just recently moved away to work, to get my career going.
And she did the same thing.
And that's what she wanted to do, but it ended up being about family.
No, yeah, like, my mom moved to the United States to put my uncle through college, and she did from here. She put my only uncle that wanted to go to college, she got him through, and this was the only way he was going to make it for her to separate from her family. She was, like, the breadwinner of her family, so
right,
she had, like, five brothers and sisters, and she was doing all the money. So the only way for her to get outside of her situation at home and to be able to feed them and take care of them was to leave. So that's a lot of people's realities. It's either move or don't make it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And that is definitely something that was similar to the reality of Mi Familia, but not really.
Like, yeah,
as far as the movie goes. Yeah.
You're going to have to explain to me what the movie is, because I don't know how much it aligns with the show.
So the movie is, now that I'm looking at it as like a 26-year-old and not like a 10-year-old, like, I'm seeing a lot of things that are problematic. And I still think this movie is really special, because it was one of the first, like, you know, Chicano movies I saw, or it was supposed to be a Chicano movie, you know, where people of color, Latinx people were supposed to be in it. And so that's why it's very important and special to me, because I never, like, seen brown people and, like, the family depiction, you know, not on TV. And so Mi Familia was made in 1995 by Gregory Nava. And like I said earlier, he wanted to base this around, like, family, and he wanted to make this a universal story. So that, you know, because back in 95, they weren't really just handing out money to people of color to make movies. It was like a really indie movie. And he based it around the men, which I guess it's cool. It centers around three generations of men and three generations of, I would say, trauma. But maybe the grandpa didn't really go through trauma. But anyways, it starts with the father coming from Michoacan, and he's like, walking. It took him 2 years to get to Los Angeles, like,
damn.
Yeah, he got lost around the, along
this
the way
is a grandpa, like, the,
yeah,
above
this is the yes
James
he's the
Edward
first
Olmos,
guy
whatever the crap.
Yes, he's James Edward Olmos's dad, and he comes over to the United States, and he becomes like a what is it, a landscaping contractor in the nice part of LA, not East LA, because where he lives, it's not paved roads, it's like still dirt road.
Okay.
I appreciate that. That's where he meets his wife, J-Lo.
J-Lo? No big deal.
Y'all, so J-Lo was in this before Selena. Like, and she looks really different. She looks very humble in this in comparison to
humble,
Selena.
Humble, the nicest way you could possibly put it.
Yeah, like, she's not, definitely not wearing, like, a, like, red sparkly bralette thing.
I imagine, because this is, what, like, the 70s or something? Freaking 60s at that point?
No, this is, like, supposed to be, like, 1910, 1920.
Fucking A, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super old. And she's taking, of course, she's like a nanny for these white kids. Shout out to J-Lo being the mom. Yeah. Shout out to all the Puerto Ricans in this movie, by the way.
All these Puerto Ricans playing Mexicans?
Yes, you're the one that told me.
Oh, God.
Because, like, I don't remember them being Puerto Rican. You're like, dude, most of them are Puerto Rican. And I was like,
even in the show.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Constance Marie is, like, the only one. And Edward James almost, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, he meets his wife while he's cutting the lawns and she's taking care of children. And it's all very cute because it's humble and adorable. They have 6 kids.
That's all?
That's all. They got tired, I guess. But I think one of the most important births in the movies is the second generation, the son. His name is Chucho. The thing about Chucho is there's a lot of, like, mysticism around his birth and his life. When he was conceived, his father thought he saw, like, an angel in the sky. And
I'd be creeped out.
No, but there's a lot of, like, spirituality going on. They don't really touch too much on the Catholicism, which I thought that was a missed opportunity, but they mention, you know, small things about Catholicism, but they don't really go into the way Latinos revere, like, La Virgen. They don't really go into that. Like, there's a short, you know, they pray a little, but you don't really see them going to church. It's not something they include in the movie. Anyways, there's a lot of mysticism around Chucho's birth. He was born, I think, in Mexico, because there's this whole plot line where J-Lo gets, like, deported back to Mexico. The mom.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was a super big missed opportunity for them to zero in. I feel like her journey from getting deported from LA, although she's an American citizen, because apparently that's what they were doing back in, like, 1910, 1920. Didn't matter if you were, like, a legal citizen. If you were brown, you're getting deported. So she got deported back to Mexico, central Mexico, and had to make this giant trek all the way back from Mexico to LA. And when she got deported, she was pregnant. By the time she made it to the U.S., she had, like, a 2-year-old. Damn. Yeah. So, but the interesting thing about her is that, like, I felt like a whole movie could have been made about her journey from, like, central Mexico to East L.A. That would have been a movie right there.
That would have been a beautiful, beautiful movie.
About a pregnant woman? Not pregnant woman. A woman with a child crossing?
Yeah.
Back in, like, 1910, 1920? Like, what the hell?
You could, like, take that opportunity to, like, explore all these, like, parts of Mexico and how the cultures differentiate.
Yes,
like,
how beautiful it is. Like, no one ever, like, when they talk about, like, you know, Mexico, they only talk about, like, deserts and cartel, and they never talk about, like, how lush it is, how green it is. And she was in, like, central Mexico, which is super lush and super green and beautiful. And also, we could have seen a woman's struggle with actual migration to a place that kicked her out, that she was already a citizen of. That was another interesting concept to me that they missed. And instead, they centered it around Chucho growing up. So Chucho grows up. He should have died in this river. Like, there's this huge, crazy trek that J-Lo's undertaking with her baby. They almost die in this river. And she gets all, like, freaked out because are owls, like, a thing? Like, owls supposed
general,
to be bad luck?
Like, they're an omen in general.
Are they a bad omen?
Yeah. Of course, yeah, in general.
I didn't grow up with any kind of, like,
I didn't either. This is what I know from TV.
Oh, okay.
And the movies.
And the movies. Mm-hmm. I don't watch scary movies, so that's another thing. You do.
There you go. Yeah, I watch scary movies. Both of them.
So she saw an owl right before they were supposed to cross a river, and then, like, Chucho almost died. But spoiler alert, he didn't right there.
Spoiler alert, 21 years later.
Spoiler alert, yeah, I think that's about how many years later, yeah. So 20 years later, Chucho grows up and he becomes, like, a pachuco, which is, like,
Oh my god.
Yes. He becomes like a Mexican gangster who listens to like oldies and drives like this badass like red Chrysler. Like his style is impeccable, his hair is beautiful, like
just imagine, you know, how they used to dress. Like, you know how they like romanticized like those white dudes in the 50s? Like that's how we romanticize pachucos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, we see them with their like, well, this he's after the zoot suits.
They're the reason that like pachucos were a big thing in the quinceañeras for a while or whatever. That style.
Oh my god, the hats.
Yeah. Like, tip it aside.
And, like, I feel like this, again, was another missed opportunity because Chucho grows up to be, like, this, like, gang leader. But at the same time, he's, like, really angry and they don't really discuss why he's so fucking angry. And there's, like, a slight, there's, like, a slip, you know, there's a slip up somewhere in there where he expresses that, you know, you don't know what it's like to be brown here, you know, like, he hates being, like, Mexican, but he's so proud on the outside. But he's dealing with a lot of like, well, he's dealing with a lot of things that the story doesn't go into. And I felt like that's could have been a whole nother show within itself. It's just a story about Chucho and his life and how he's dealing with being, you know, Mexican-American in a country that doesn't want him, in a country that police brutality is, it's even worse than, you know, people are definitely probably getting beat up in the street for just being brown. And who knows what he's enduring on a daily basis, just being himself, you know? So that's another missed opportunity because he was extremely angry and they mention it in the movie, like, you know, he was just mad and he was mad at the world. And I felt like maybe they brushed this off in the movie because, again, they probably wanted to get white people to watch this movie, and demonizing the white man probably wasn't going to be a good look in the 90s if you wanted to make a movie with no white people in it, essentially. So,
well, plus, I mean, this movie, you can only, if they have a certain story to tell, which I guess I don't know because I haven't seen it, but like they can only fit so much, you know what I mean? And they want to tell this whole story, then mm-hmm. they can't go into everything.
That's true. But I felt like within this movie, there's like 20 things.
You could, yeah.
There's 20 things that could be shows, movies, like 20 stories within this one story. And I think that's what makes it so interesting and beautiful. And the only thing that they really touch on later, and it's very brief glimpses that I thought were interesting about, you know, culture and society and the difference between being, like, Mexican-American and white and poor and rich, was when the little brother, Guillermo, he becomes a lawyer. He brings over his white girlfriend, you know. That's already the whole thing. Bringing your white girlfriend to your East LA home in, like, I think this is the 80s now. There's a very awkward, like, feeling in the room with the gringos there, like, his in-laws and his family. It's just very strange because Guillermo seems to be holding a lot of shame for his family. Like, they call him Memo, and he seems to be explaining to the white people, like, oh, it's it's a nickname. They call me Memo. It's short for, you know, Guillermo. And he doesn't even go by that name anymore. He goes by William.
Oh, God. I mean, right. Then they should understand. Freaking pulling out Bill from William makes
yeah.
no sense.
Yeah, it's just like, dude, what? Like, your name's Guillermo. Like, chill. Like, keep your name. It's awesome. But he's carrying a lot of shame. He's obviously code switching and working in a lot of like white majority places because he's a lawyer. And it's just really weird for me because like that's a very real element of like Mexican families. Like, you don't have like a cousin that's like totally like, oh, I'm. My name's Steven.
I mean, well, the thing is that most of my cousins are younger than me.
Ah, yeah. They're not there yet.
So, they basically are white, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah.
Well, hey, it happens. You'd be like that. But, like, his shame is very, like, something I've seen before. Like, those are in my... I'm probably on the younger side, and all my cousins are older. One of my cousins kind of does the same thing where, you know, he's... was born in Mexico, but he kind of, like, acts like a Republican now, and it's really annoying, and, like, eye roll, and this is
10-10 would punch.
Right? Like, to have a Republican cousin is just super annoying, and, like, whatever. I feel like that's another thing that they didn't really touch in the movie that I wish they would have, but then again, this is not that story. Like, this is just a story about men living their lives, dealing with trauma. And I guess another thing dealing with the actual trauma I've been talking about is that Chucho gets murdered by police. in an act of police brutality, gets shot in the head right in front of his little brother, Jimmy. Like, and that leads to another cycle, another generation of anger and hatred, because Jimmy's the youngest brother. He's maybe, like, 7 when this happens, and his older brother's, like, 21. And he grows up really angry, too. He grows up, like, stealing, breaking and entering is, like, his thing. He's been to jail a couple times. He's not growing up, you know. That's another whole thing. They don't talk about his relationship to how, you know, what he saw as a child and how he dealt with it later on in life. You don't see men dealing with things in this movie. You know, toxic masculinity. They're just kind of, like, angry.
Yeah. Okay, so what I got so far from this movie. J-Lo gets deported for no reason. She finally comes up with Chucho.
Yes.
In the meantime, I don't know what the hell Grandpa was doing. And then they have... Chucho grows up, and then Chucho becomes a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
He gets shot. There's a little one. He is...
Jimmy grows up to be, like, messed up.
And he's pissed, okay.
Yeah, he's pissed.
All right, so then what?
So Jimmy's, like, breaking the law, and he comes back, and... he's dealing with a lot of anger himself in and out of jail, and they really tried to hit, like, everything in this movie. They even tried to hit, like, you know, marrying somebody to get their papers.
Hey, I mean, yeah, okay.
Spoiler alert, Jimmy marries a woman so that she can get her papers because he wants to be a political activist. And, like, it's funny. It's this whole scene with his sister, Tony. Although, another thing. The sisters, they're not real characters in this. They're just kind of like...
two dimensions.
Yes, two dimensional. They're just there to support the men, and it's super annoying. And honestly, I would have preferred... the sisters are so interesting. One of them has her own restaurant. The other one is a nun and then breaks her nun vow to marry a priest. Like, what the fuck? That's a novella.
Damn.
That's a fucking novella. And the other one is like un pinche show on TNT where like a Mexican lady is like running her restaurant. You want to see that shit. You want to see J-Lo fucking like risk her life to come to the United States. Like the women's stories are so much more interesting and so much more powerful. No offense to the men's. Like, okay,
offense,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay, full offense. Like the dudes are just going through like they don't know how to deal with the trauma and it seems like the women are just way more adjusted to trauma. Like, J-Lo, like, came from, freaking died almost, and, like, she's cool. She's chilling. But they don't even hit on how she's dealing with her trauma of almost losing her son.
She's over here just like, I'm good. I'm alive. I'm good. Right? All the kids are like, I'm mad.
Yeah, okay. Like, Jimmy's pissed. Guillermo's ashamed to be Mexican. The oldest brother is a writer. He's okay.
Those writers.
Those writers.
Ugh, great.
Observers. And it's a cycle of them talking about men not knowing how to deal with their emotions when all of this could have been solved with them like sitting down and maybe having like a good cry, you know, hugging their mom. I don't know, like they don't do any of those things. They don't really express emotion. It's a lot of machismo going on. It's a lot of like macho Mexican bullshit. Like honestly, it's just like a bunch of dudes that can't like cry, can't express themselves. And I understand I can't do that either.
Well, what I mean, this movie, you were really excited to cover when we first talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you were 10 years old, what was your impression of it? Like, what made it so special to you? Because right now, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's toxic masculinity, which is so embedded in, especially back in the day, the culture. But now, like, or back then, what made you see this film and just be like, this is an amazing film?
Well, the good thing about it was that even when I saw it recently, when I got to the end of it, I did cry like a little girl. Because it does hit on what family means, period, to Mexican people, about the values that we hold, like, you know, work hard, be good, have children, you know, and it's very simple. And at the end, it's just kind of the grandparents sitting at the table drinking cafecitos and talking about their lives and what it meant. And, you know, it hit a nerve because, you know, like you think about your own parents sitting at a table or your own mom or your dad, anyone sitting at a table thinking about their life. And they're already in the older stages of their lives. And, I felt sentimental. I felt attached to these brown people allowed to age gracefully. And I felt like there was a lot of compassion and love for the characters. So that's another thing that you still see. Yes, there's a lot of problematic things, but there's still a lot of love. And you can tell that every character was made with care. Every character was treated correctly, like the aging of the parents, everything was very respectful, and that's still something that, you know, they weren't caricatures. They did everything with dignity. Yes, you know, they mowed lawns and took care of other people's kids, but it was a lot of dignity with that. And they held themselves differently, and I really appreciated that, and I still do. And so at the end of the movie, at the end of this story of a family, like, you know, you're going to reflect on your own and your own brown people aging, you know, and it's beautiful in that way. So for that, I'd give it maybe like 4 pan dulces, just for the feeling of watching older people, you know, and being, even though they ignored women, okay, maybe a 3.5 because they ignored women.
And so it was 10-year-old you is like 4, but current you is like 3.5.
Current me is like a 3.5. And another important thing about this is that I think more people should watch it. More men should maybe watch it. And they're going to get something different from me, right? I'm going to see toxic masculinity and men not being able to express themselves and deal with trauma. And, you know, I think everyone should deal with their own shit, you know, before this cycle of like pain just keeps going and you keep hurting people. So I think it's a movie men need to watch and maybe talk to people better. I don't know if they'll pull the same things I did from it, right? Like, hey, you need to talk to your people more instead of being a dickhead. But yeah, I really like it for that reason, you know. Gotcha. Not a lot of stories get told like that for brown people.
So since you've seen the movie and the TV show, how does it relate to the TV show? How does it tie in?
The TV, I feel like the movie was made so they could make a TV show. Honestly.
But like, does it relate? Like, this is the same characters?
Yeah, it's the same characters. James Edward Olmos is in there. Like, the sisters. So James,
is he Jimmy?
Jimmy. No, okay. No. Jimmy is the father who went to jail and stuff. He's the crazy one who saw his brother get murdered. Yeah, right.
So then, that's what I'm saying. So, like, to relate it back, like, James Edward Olmos is who in relation to Mi Familia?
He would be the oldest brother, the writer of the...
He's the writer?
He's the writer. James Edward Olmos is the narrator of the movie, and he's the writer. Interesting. But I don't know who character he's... Is he supposed to be Jimmy in the show?
I don't know. It's just that, like, in the show, he's... I mean, he's the dad. That's what they know. Like, that's what he's known. He's the father. There's no grandparents.
Yeah, because they passed.
He's the grandfather at this point.
Oh, okay. He's the grandpa in the movie. In the show, right.
Mm-hmm. He's the old dude.
He's the old dude?
Yeah, he's the oldie. But he wasn't a writer. He was in the Korean War.
No, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, the oldest brother was ex-Navy. And later he wrote a book about his family, but he was military. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, in the show they don't mention him writing at all. Nothing, not even...
I think maybe they were like an amalgamation of the characters in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like they tried... There was a big backstory to the show, like, you know what I mean? Like, so basically, to watch the show, you don't have to watch the movie.
Yeah,
and
you don't.
And obviously, you don't need to watch the show to watch the...
No.
The movie to watch, so vice versa. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I watched the first 8 episodes of it because what American Family has in common with Cristela that you guys are gonna be a little bit frustrated with me about is that it's really hard to stream.
Yeah,
it's almost impossible to find American Family. You basically have to like buy the DVD or something like that.
And it was only like on PBS for like 2 seasons.
2 seasons, yeah, from 2002 to 2004. So it's pretty hard. There's not really a way to stream it, really. You have to like probably go find the thing. I found like the first 8 episodes. I can help you guys out with that. They're worth watching, I think. And then Cristela recently got removed from Netflix, so
fuck you, Netflix.
I mean, I get it, right? Like, the shows don't stay on forever, but it sucks because there's not really a place for it now. Like, before you were just like, oh, it's on Netflix, but now you have to like go and either purchase it or do this or that, and that was one season that shouldn't have been one season.
Nope.
So I'll start off with American Family, obviously. It was created by Gregory Nava. It was originally for CBS, but it got rejected, and then PBS picked it up, and they kind of went through a little name change where it was like American Family Journey of Dreams. And
super cheesy.
Or at least that's what they did for the second season, which I didn't get to watch. And of course, it starred Edward James Olmos. He was like in the Selena movie, he was in Mi Familia, I guess. Mm-hmm. and in the show he's a father and a Korean War veteran, and he's just cranky. He's a cranky old dude. And he, on the first episode, he's put opposite, like, the most tender, kindest wife, right?
Is she Constance Marie? Is she the wife? Or is she the daughter?
No, Constance Marie is the daughter.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, that's the, his wife passes away, basically, in the first episode.
Oh,
yeah. Fuck. Which is kind of a big shocker, especially, like, if you're watching the season, you think she's going to be around a while, which she doesn't completely go away. But this show, like, you'd be surprised. This is like, you know, you always have that one show from back in the day where they have like a bunch of guest stars that are huge now. Mm-hmm. This was that show.
Law and Order.
This one had Kate del Castillo. It had Michael Peña.
Oh, wow.
America Ferrera, Patricia Velasquez. Like, it had all like a bunch of big names. With small little roles, weirdly enough, like people with the big roles, they don't really, they're hardly relevant today, with exception of Nina, which is Constance Marie, who was on Switched at Birth, for those of you who have seen that, which I love that show. It's a good show. And so she plays kind of like that neglected sibling who is like yearning to prove herself, and she does, you know, she becomes a lawyer. And if you've listened to me and Luis on his episode, he talks about this specific scene that she kind of flashes back to in the beginning of the show, where she's like working hard, you know, trying to be valedictorian and trying to get through school and do really well. And, you know, her family is struggling for money. And I think that that's such a really cool thing that they depict on that show, because, you know, that was my memory of growing up, like struggling for money. You couldn't
struggle
just,
is real.
Yeah. So whenever she wanted a dress, because she did, she got like a full ride to Stanford, for God's sakes.
Still not enough, right?
Still not, yeah. Still her, like, she wasn't even, she was like saying, like, you don't have to pay for me to go to fucking Stanford. And her dad's just like, we don't have enough money to get you a dress so that you can go to your ceremony. So he wasn't putting, he had basically, the dad had put on all his time and money and efforts towards, he had to choose one of the kids. And he chose Conrado, whatever you want to call him. And he put him through college and had to pay for that college. And
by the time it got to Constance, it was gone.
Yeah. Mm. Even though he didn't even have to give her anything. Like I said, she got a full fucking ride.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he wouldn't give her a dress. So I don't know, I guess she had really supportive professors. And one of her professors ends up buying her like a suit to wear.
No. Mm.
Yeah, which is super nice, but the mom at this point has felt so guilty that they're saying no to her, that the mom makes her a dress.
Oh.
So she makes her this dress, and Constance Marie's character, Nina, doesn't want to reject her, so she's like, okay, yeah, so there's no parents at this ceremony, because she doesn't want to, like, her to know that she's not going to wear the dress.
Oh.
So she's like, yeah, it's fine. So then she pretends that she's going to go get dressed somewhere else with the dress. And accidentally leaves behind like a piece of the dress. I don't know how that works, but the mom takes it, realizes she's not wearing the dress to their parents at the ceremony.
Oh no, the shame.
Yeah, so it was just a heartbreaking scene. That's what he had mentioned, and I just think it's for other people. I think what they got out of it is like, oh, she's ashamed of her family or ashamed of that traditional style of dress. Which they might not be wrong about, but what I got out of it was like, parents had to choose one kid to put their, you know, all their
beans
money
in
into,
bucket.
And other kids get neglected even, and you know what I mean. Like that, I related to that. Maybe that's what I'm projecting a little bit here, but
but just a little. No, no, no,
no. No, but that's what I got out of it. I was just like, this kid like worked her ass off and isn't getting, you know, any support from her parents. At least that's what it came off as to me. So
damn,
there's two sides to every coin. But the other thing that whole moment kind of highlighted between Nina and her mom,
mm-hmm.
was that like Nina was always so aggressive and angry and adamant that she didn't want to be like her mom, cooking and cleaning and looking after the children and looking after her husband. Like she was just like, I'm never going to be that person. And she talked down on it in a way, but it was just because that wasn't her dream.
That was what she wanted, and they kept imposing that on her.
Hmm. Well, they didn't impose it on her, per se. It was just that, like, they also didn't support her going and being a professional at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the reason that it became so relevant is because this is a flashback that Nina's having after her mom has passed away.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Oh, no.
So her mom...
It's gotcha.
So her mom has passed away, and she was the legal guardian of one of Nina's brothers' kid. Because okay. the brother couldn't... He had gone to prison and all this stuff.
Jimmy. That's the Jimmy character.
Then. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, they're not the same.
Right, they're not the same dude. But, yeah, so he had gone to jail, and they had a kid, and then... So, obviously, they're trying to take away the kid because the legal guardian has passed away. And so Nina decides to take over. She becomes the legal guardian. So all these things that she had told her mom she wasn't going to do, she's going to be a lawyer, she was going to have a career, she ends up doing those exact things. She takes care of this kid, she cooks, she cleans.
That's so how it works out.
Yeah, and then at the same time, she's off helping people as an immigration lawyer, doing, like, amazing things, really. And, yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that come... I think a lot of the storyline that I got out of it in the first eight episodes only was about Nina.
Mm-hmm.
So she has turned down a job. She was going to move to Washington so that she can stay behind and take care of her nephew. And the guy that ends up taking her spot was an old flame of hers, which leads to another flashback storyline about how they both used to be very, like, social justice warriors type of people. But now... This dude represents what she would have become had she not put her family first. And what this guy has come back to LA to do from Washington. Hold on, I gotta burp.
Bless you.
In advance. He's come to shut down the rec center that she is, like, working her ass off to protect, which is, like, really big deal in their community because it keeps a lot of kids out of trouble. And what I think that whole deal was that, like, he's turning against his people, and she would have probably done that had she been in his position, because or if she had been the kind of person to turn her back on her family.
But yeah,
but she didn't.
She didn't end up becoming that person,
right? So her choices really defined her in that case, and I think that's a really important message too, because it's just kind of like, it's so easy for us to, once we get our career going, you know, fully immerse ourselves into, like, quote-unquote the American lifestyle and just be out for ourselves all the time and forget about our communities to better ourselves.
And that's not really what it means to be, like...
But it's bullshit. Like, what are you going to get in that? And, like, yeah, you might end up with millions of dollars, but that's, like, 100 more kids on the street. So I think it's a good message, especially back then when you were able to make a lot more of a difference. Now, internet age has changed everything, but...
Oh, Lord, yeah.
But back in the day... They also talk about, this is where Michael Peña's character kind of comes into play. He's a character from the past who got killed, and he was a poet. And what I liked about Sal's character was that he was an immigrant, or his family was, I think, one or the other. The point is that at some point he had to go back to Mexico. He couldn't stay in LA anymore. And, like, I think it was because of money. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, it was because of money, because he was saying, like, he was such an amazing artist and he was such an amazing activist, but none of that mattered as much as he had made it seem like it mattered, because if he's at the end of the day, he had to leave and to go find work. He's like, you know, art doesn't pay the bills, you know, art isn't life, and all this other stuff, which is something that comes up with me a lot, where it's like, your family, or at least my family, like, they're not, like, they don't want you to go into those kinds of careers. They want you to go into something practical, something that pays the bills. And so they brought up that really important point too.
Something that offers security. And I think that's, like, universal theme.
Yeah. But it does suck, though. It's just kind of... The thing is that that's then compared to another side of the story in back in the future, where there's kids working at that rec center who are helping Nina defend the rec center to not get closed down or the funding to get taken away, who is saying, like, you know, my family, everybody in my neighborhood, they turn to gangsters and they join gangs and shit like that, and they end up slinging drugs in jail or dead. And he's just like, art saved me. So where Salas was saying, you know, art is not gonna give me life, essentially, it's not gonna,
yet at the same time it is giving him life,
but on the flip side, somebody else was saved by art, you know what I mean? So it's, I don't know, I like that comparison. Whatever, whoever takes out of it what they will, it's a great thing to put out there. As 2004, I mean, during that time especially, like, I wish somebody had told me, like,
Bush era.
Yeah, I wish somebody had told me, like, hey, like, no, art, you know, your writing might not pay the bills right away, but
if you keep going,
but, you know, it could save a life, you know, it could do this, it could, you know, there's more to life than money, essentially. God damn it, essentially. We're gonna drink real quick.
Yeah, we got to, essentially.
You know, there's so much to talk about. It was just 8 episodes. I'm episode 2 right now.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah. But what were you saying?
The only episode I remember was when I think Constance Marie's character was trying to teach, like, a team of girls, like a football team of all girls. Or
like softball team.
Softball team, mm-hmm, of all girls. And then the father, which is James Edward Olmos, was like, what? Girls playing sports?
Yeah.
You should be at home cooking and cleaning, you know? And I was like, what the fuck? But Constance Marie's character was like, get the hell out of here, puppy, with your outdated machismo bullshit. And I was like, yo, this scene is so relevant.
They do that, like, basically the whole time. It's always Nina against the dad, or at least from what I saw, because
they're so different.
They I are. Love that. And, or his expectations of women are so different.
Oh, you mean so normal?
Yeah,
so normal.
Different from each other, I should say.
There we go.
So I mean, there's a lot of other things they bring up. Being a single mother, you know, now versus then, they do a lot of that, like, now versus back then, which for now, for us, it's like back then versus now, but for them, it was like the 80s or 70s versus the 2000s. So there was like just super quickly, there was a storyline where there's like a single mother, and she was like, I'm not just gonna get married to this dude just because I had a baby with him. Like,
shout out to her, man.
Yeah, like, I thought that was so strong and amazing. Whereas the mom had literally, and she didn't find this out till later, but her mom, who was telling her she needed to get married, was like, had actually told everybody that her dad was dead, but he wasn't. He was a bum who walked out. But because back in the day, you know, to
be a single mom,
it was more shameful to be a single mom because you have a bum baby daddy. So she was just like, he's dead, you don't have a dad.
All these crazy standards imposed on women is bullshit, right?
It is, and there's a lot, and they're all brought up in this show, and I really, really like that. So, like I said, it's only 8 episodes that I could find. I'm sure if you can go out and buy the rest of it, I might one day. Then it's totally worth watching, but let's see, what else? There are some other, like, really good shit in it, like, you know, in these days in American TV shows or whatever that I've seen, it's always the daughter going to the mom about sex, right? That's not realistic. Like, you go to your siblings, typically, or your friends.
Or your friends.
And that's what happens in the show, is, like, she goes to her siblings. She's just like, oh, this happened, or this might happen, or whatever. Like, that's real. Like, nobody's going to go to their mom, who's going to just be straight up like, you're not having sex until you're married. Point blank. That's what it is.
Well, at least in Latino families, I mean, I haven't met a lot of people where they're, like, open about their private life.
That's
like
weird.
That. Like, it's really fucking strange, dude. I don't get it. Yeah. I met people and I'm like, what?
Then they also have another storyline with a Guatemalan mother. I have a lot of criticism for that. That was one of my main criticisms.
Yes, come on.
Because, like,
let's do it.
In my experience, every immigrant, especially ones that have been illegal at one point or are illegal, or illegally here, they are not, they themselves are not an illegal person, because a person cannot be illegal.
People aren't illegal,
but they know their shit, right? Like, they know, okay, like, how the paperwork works, how the methods that they can go through to get legal, which is not easy.
Bureaucracy is like bullshit. They make it incredibly hard for people,
and they know their shit. They fucking know it. So the fact that they have a storyline about a Guatemalan mother who has a baby in the U.S., who was born in the U.S., even though she's undocumented, this mother's under the impression that because she had a baby in the U.S., she can then be legal in the United States.
Oh,
and I'm just kind of like, no immigrant would think that. So why are they making this mom out to be, like, stupid? So that made me really angry, that she goes to this, like, lawyer's office talking about, or, like, she gets deported, and so does her, and she goes to, or her husband gets deported first, and she goes and looks for him, and that's where the whole drama starts. But I just, like, I know that immigrants don't
assume that they would be American
citizens.
They're
informed. They know their shit. So that was one of my main criticisms, even though the storyline is decent. They do depict her journey getting back into LA as very gruesome. So I enjoyed that. Well, not enjoyed it, but you know what I mean? Like,
you liked watching her struggle, right?
Yeah. No, like, no. I
no, but it was important that they even show it, right? It was
admirable, like,
for them to actually show it is very important.
Yeah. And then, like, when she actually gets through, well, I was just like, yeah, bitch. Because you used to be able to get through.
So what it's sounding like is, like, the show covered everything that I thought was problematic in the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was very problematic. It's just that was one thing that really freaking irked me. James Edward Olmos is still kind of a total prick who's a sexist.
I mean, he's a typical Mexican man who's got a lot of machismo bullshit. So he sounds
older one, yeah.
He sounds kind of like every, like, Chicano man I've met from, like, who served in the military. It's messed up, but I met, like, 3 or 4, like, Chicano men in, like, college that sound exactly like James Edwards, almost his character.
Yeah. Actually, I do have... You reminded me of another semi-criticism that I have,
mm-hmm.
is that they don't... That was as far as they went, as far as I saw, into covering a real immigrant. You know what I mean? It was Chicano story. Mm. And for me, like, I want to see stories about immigrants, right? Like, intertwined with those of us who are born in America, or in the United States, I should say.
Yeah.
So then, and then one more criticism that I had, which was the way that they depicted Tijuana. They made it seem like such a poverty-stricken place with no life, with people just, like, no homes, no nothing. And I was just Tijuana's full of life. That's bullshit.
No.
So that was 3.
I mean, not past a certain time. Like, it's kind of scary. But just in certain neighborhoods. Like,
right. Like, you know, they made it seem like it was just people living on rocks.
Squalor. Yeah.
It was terrible.
It's like, no, that's just certain parts of a certain neighborhood. Like, Mexico's gorgeous.
I mean, I don't even think... I'm just talking about Tijuana in general. Like, mm-hmm. that's not Tijuana.
No.
And then, so yeah, I mean, from what I read, because I had to go through and read the rest of the information.
Because they don't have this accessible to people anymore.
Right. So, basically, the second season, because around that time, it was post 9/11,
mm-hmm.
It kind of badly...
post 9/11.
Yeah, it was just like during that time. It was all about Iraq. So Conrado, which is the older son that he had, you know, invested in his education,
mm-hmm.
he went off to go fight in Iraq, and it was literally still happening, like, in real life. People were going to Iraq. So I think a lot of people believe that to be the reason that the show got nixed, is because
they got political.
They were just too relevant, too doing it at the same time, you know what I mean? Like, the war was still going on, and then they brought it into the storyline, point blank, immediately. So I think people were really bothered by that, or the networks.
Yeah, that was the rumor that's why it got canceled, is because they brought up how, like, this war in Iraq was just, like, bullshit, you know, and how at the time, like, the climate in 2004 was definitely, like, anti-war in Iraq. Afghanistan, no one really kind of said anything, because
by that time, it was just like, what the fuck can we do? Nobody's listening.
Yeah, but Iraq, it was, Iraq, 2004. How old were you?
I was a baby. I was like 12.
Oh, I was like 14, I think, then, or 15. No.
I think you were like 13 or 14.
I was 13 or 14. Yeah. I'm only like a year. Oh, God. But that's so crazy. Another episode that I remember watching on PBS is, I don't know if this was in the first season. Did they ever, like, go to Mexico, and did he ever try to buy Viagra?
No, I mean, not that I saw.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is in the second season, then. They make a trip. The dad starts dating again, and then the oldest...
Oh, Rita Moreno?
Yeah!
Mm-hmm. That's another big name that was in it. Puerto Rican, though.
Yeah. Shout out to all the Puerto Ricans out there. You guys are everywhere.
Playing Mexicans.
So. Yeah, it's...
a little...
We love y'all, but, you know... We'll take it, right? We'll take it. It's already done.
It's not on you.
It's not your fault. It's the casting directors. It's definitely the casting director's fault, but, you know, shout out to y'all. There was like an episode where they crossed the border, they went in to get like medications, because that was another thing that was really big. And do you remember early 2000s, where a lot of gringos were going to Mexico to buy their medications because it was cheaper
and you could bring it in? I mean, that's like a good idea now.
Yeah, like as long as you had a prescription, you could go to Mexico and buy your medicine for way cheaper, because here they're still doing this.
Because they have good healthcare.
Yeah, like,
or decent.
Well, it's cheaper. It's not, like, decent. It's just, like, cheaper because, like, the peso, like, it's, like, you get, like, 17 pesos for a dollar now.
No, I mean, they don't super upcharge their medicine. No, they don't. It's could be affordable here, but...
drug dealing in this side. That's what I call it. Legal drug dealing. And he went to buy Viagra, and then his son got mad at him because he was trying to buy Viagra. And he's like, you're not supposed to be having sex, Dad. You never have sex again.
What the hell?
You know, if mom and you, you know, if mom died, you're never supposed to be happy again. And I like that they were showing, like, older people be, like, vibrant and have sex lives. And that was another rare thing, and I'm pretty sure that was in the second season.
That's weird.
And that's weird that I remember that.
About a little bit, yeah.
No, I remember that because I remember my brother and me having that conversation, him saying that he would be just as mad if that was his dad. But the important thing that you get out of that is that a conversation was had between me and my brother about our family. Like, we saw brown people and we got to have that conversation about brown people that we related to, which I don't think we've ever really done, you know, and like, I've never really related that strongly. The only character I related to in this was Constance Marie. Like,
yeah,
how could I not? I love her.
I couldn't relate to her, but I liked her her gumption.
Gumption. Her but moxie.
No. But yeah, I mean, because of this show, you would think that we would have gotten so much more stuff out of it, like, these days. You know, like kind of everybody right now has a hopes with Coco that because of the success of this, you know, we're going to get so many more movies, so many more shows. We had Mi Familia, and then fucking what, 8 years later, we got American Family, which was pushed around and then only lasted 2 seasons. So yep. that just fucking tells you maybe we, you know, don't stop pushing just because we got this one thing.
No, yeah. I mean, in the 90s, everyone had this idea that, you know, there was Latin people on the radio. Everybody was crossing over. Like, they thought that this was the time that Latinos were going to, like, mean something a little, like, come to the forefront. And that just didn't happen. And I guess that means you can't just, like you said, you got to keep pushing. You can't just be left behind. You got to just keep moving the culture forward. Don't be stuck or expect other people to do it for you. You know, just do it yourself. That's like how the whole support brown podcast thing got started. It's just people doing it themselves and yeah. making it work. And that kind of has to be like the DIY, like, very punk thing to do now. Is just do it yourself. Figure it out. Make it work.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that I would have hoped that it would have brought more, because what we're going to probably talk about soon, then, if not today, but soon we're going to talk about Cristela. And that was a show that lasted only one freaking season. And that's the kind of show that I would have expected us to have had 5 of since American Family. And we have not. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I honestly just kind of made myself angry.
No, join me in my queer bubble where I'm happy. Come on.
No, but this show, for sure, I would say, like,
how many cafecitos?
Like, one cafecito. It's just a little dated, but at the same time, a lot of the stuff is still relevant today, and yeah, for what it is, it's pretty damn decent. They don't have any queer people at all, like, at all. Guys, nothing, like, not even a little.
But they didn't really get a chance.
Like, not even an innuendo. I don't know, two seasons is quite a while, man. No, but I'm not bitter.
You're not bitter.
It was 2001, 2002, us being on the screen was a big deal, period.
Period.
So, I feel like we're always gonna fucking see that, though. It's like, because for you, it's like 1996, like, and you were saying, like, oh, it's amazing to have seen something like that on the screen, Mi Familia. And then now I'm saying, okay, 2002, you know, like, we can't blame them. It was so cool to even have.
Oh, you mean, like, this is the excuse we keep making right. every single time.
5 years ago.
We have representation. We can't complain because at least we have it. And it's like, fuck that. No, we should have queer people. We should have all aspects of us.
Yeah, and 5 years ago it was Cristela, or four years ago, whenever it was.
There was no one queer on Cristela, was there?
No, but I'm talking about Mexican representation. Oh, I'm not okay. even talking about queer representation. I'm saying, like, because I almost said, like, oh, back in the day, we were lucky to have Mexican representation. Why are we complaining about queer representation? But, like, fucking, hey, no, I'm going to complain about everything.
Yes. Call out culture.
God damn it.
2017. Gang.
I want my gay Cristela familia.
Yes. That's, like, the title of this.
Bam.
I want my gay Cristela familia. Boom.
Bam.
But, yeah, so that pretty much, we really got into it. Like, I didn't think we would really...
I didn't know that 8 episodes would be enough to fill up all the time, but
yeah, clearly. I think, well, Mi Familia is like 2 hours long.
Yeah, but we always do a movie.
Oh, yeah.
For me, like, I usually do like a 4-season show, so.
No, I like that we got more out of it, though. Like, I feel
yeah,
like.
That's true. I really got to, like, jump into
the really episodes. Jumped into the things that they talked about. So, but yeah, thanks, you guys. If you made it to the end of this.
You deserve God. 5 conchas.
Like, 5 conchas to you, and 0.5 cafecitos just because you listened. Like, shout out to
like,
that.
No cafecitos.
Well, I mean, they stayed. Thirsty, they made it through. Cafecito. Like, I mean, That's pretty awesome.
No, but yeah, guys, right here, I'm looking at this book called I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter.
Yes, shout out to me.
So I'm going to be, yeah, so Cynthia got this for me. Fucking A, like I'm shook because I'm a millennial and I'm always shook when anybody gets me anything. My mom
Merry Christmas.
My mom gave me an Advil the other day. I was like, oh my god, thank you. You saved my life. Wow. This is amazing.
An Advil.
This is a portion of my rent. No, no, but yeah, it's
Support Brown Authors. It's written by Erica L. Sanchez.
Yeah, so I mean I'm gonna be totally talking about this book most likely on the internet. So on the internet where you can find us. Our podcast,
yes,
CYC podcast on all your at social medias, which is Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And of course, you can always email us with anything that you guys want us to talk about or you want to talk to us about personally. If you want to collab, whatever,
yes, the fuck you want to collab,
Hit us up at CYCpodcastmail@gmail.com. You can also slide into our DMs because I know that's easier for everybody.
That is easier for everybody. Yeah.
And then what's your personal?
And my personal is at Fried Papita on Twitter. And that's really, I'm always on Twitter popping. So if you want to holler at me, I'm going to holler at you back. So.
And I'm Mite the Panda, M-Y-T-E Panda. I've been on there a lot lately. So
yeah, you have. Really when I'm on there, bored. I'm like, what? Mite is tweeting things?
I've been bored. I'm in Texas right now, so.
I apologize.
I'm kidding.
Glad to have you here at least for a little bit.
Yeah, so and then of course if you guys like stuff like this where we don't talk about stuff that are so gay but we do talk about our familias, then please let us know on iTunes review
that. Yes, review us, let us know so we can send you a sticker. Apparently I have them.
Yeah, I found a couple of stragglers. I mean, we'll send you one if you leave a review. Just DM us, we'll send it off in the mail for you.
Yes.
Or of course if you're LA local, hit me up because I'm fucking bored, guys. Yeah,
she'll just drop it off and you guys can hang out and get drunk.
We'll go and have some micheladas.
Yes.
And if you're in Dallas, Fried Pepitas here.
Yes, we'll go to Havana's and get drunk. It'll be a thing. God,
Havana's. I feel like everybody to Havana's. Go there while I'm here.
Yes. When are you coming back from? We'll talk about that off.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off. I mean, this will be out already.
Yeah.
But anyways.
But if y'all wanna go to Havana's, hit me up. We'll all go. We'll party.
So, thank you guys for listening once again to another rant of a rant of a rant.
We love y'all. Thanks for listening to us talk.